Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Looks like you need a vacation. Enter the 5-Hour Energy Where Will the Tide Take You sweepstakes. You could win a $10,000 dream beach vacation. Imagine jet setting off to a tropical paradise, having fun in the sun, or diving at a gorgeous reef. It's up to you. No purchase necessary. Go to 5hetide.com for official rules and to enter. That's 5hetide.com. Enter today. Ends June 30th, 2024.
Diamonds in my teeth, I got a lot of shine. Running up the number, that's a lot of crime. If you try to take it from me, must be out your mind. I keep playing, lot of slime. Smokey in the air, that's a lot of pine. Pockets running over with the dollar sign.
Welcome to episode 337 of 4th of John. I am Dale Saunders here with Evan Hollywood Hearn, Mr. Damn Skippy Hollis Thomas, and Mr. Mal Davis. Tonight we're talking about the Eagles, stay or go. There's a lot of moves that are need to be, you know, they need to happen soon. But first and foremost, you got to get some coordinators here. But wanted to give a shout out to Brian Johnson getting offensive coordinator position.
It's clutch, baby. It's clutch.
We got Sean Desai as well. Yep. So welcome to the coordinators to the building. I think a lot of Eagle fans have been waiting for this moment. A lot of people coming in and out for interviews, but I think last week when Desai got his secondary interview, I was like, all right, this could be it. Pete Carroll announced it. Thanks to Pete Carroll. Breaking news.
I think Pete was a little pissed because his boy was gone.
Maybe.
But he knew, bro. He couldn't hold on to that man, but for so long, yo.
But I know we're all getting over the Super Bowl loss. It's still a couple weeks. We're here. Right. Like obviously, I've been going through. You know, it slowly. We took a week off. Had to prep. Had to get my mind right. Had to, you know, just do some random stuff. In the off season. Took a week off. It was nice. I'm back in action. So how you guys feeling?
I feel like a new man. The last show that we recorded, I'm not going to lie, I was down in the dumps, bro. I was not feeling it. I wanted that show to end. But now, to be honest with you, I've completed the entire grieving process. I've accepted what's happened. It sucks, but it is what it is, bro. And I'm happy to be here, man. I mean, I'm ready to have my heart broken again. The Sixers are looking great. Just in time for
Trust the Sixers. Don't do it, yo.
It's spring training. Don't do it.
Things are looking up, man. I mean, one of the things that we look to and lean on in every offseason, especially as of late, is Harry Roseman working his magic. And this is about to be full swing in Harry Roseman's season, whether it be negotiating contract restructures, whether it be bringing in free agents, looking at the draft. It's Howie's time to thrive, and I'm ready for it, man. I'm excited.
I'm next. Okay. I appreciate the optimism, Hearn. I'm heartbroken, man. Like I said, I'm gonna have nightmares of Jalen dropping that football for the rest of my life. So it is what it is. I played hella Madden in 2K, and it ain't work. I couldn't get it out of my mind. But no, I'm good, man. You know, optimistic. This that time of year with prospects, and it's all optimism. Everybody's undefeated again, and you know, yeah, it's a process. I go through all 5 steps, and I could be any step, any day. Who knows? But you know, that's what being a fan is all about, right? And excited to be here with y'all as always, for sure.
Well, I personally have been starting to fight in empty rooms all around the nation to everybody who saw us talking crap about the game. Every time I try to go into my breakdown, my process of breaking down the draft and building up I call it my Eagles wish list. Players who, if they're available, will we pick? I would love to have because I think they would be good fits here. but you know, knowing that a lot of them I'm not going to get, but then delving deeper into the process of evaluating some of the players who don't get as much shine, and finding that dark horse. That dark horse is going to make the squad, and that everybody's thinking about that shiny new toy, those first, second, and third round picks. Everybody's thinking about those new toys. Somebody who's going to come up big, who's going to be already polished, that's coming out of school. That's the only thing that's been getting me through. But on a daily basis, listening to Dan Ostrowski and the rest of it, whatever the hell his name is, man, listen to him try to evaluate quarterbacks.
Something Polish.
To me, the largest elephant in the room is the fact that we lost to Eric Bieniemy, and because he outdueled by defensive coordinator, and he still has yet to get a job. Yeah, so
no
listening
credit
to some of the excuses that they continue to bring up, whereas they were saying because he was behind Andy Reid. I know Andy Reid. Andy Reid would not have won without Eric Bieniemy. And right. if you really want to be truthful about it, and this is the last I will mention of it, psych, but Doug Peterson and Matt Nagy were both the offense coordinator before Eric Bieniemy. They've been to 3 Super Bowls in five years, all behind Eric. When Eric Bieniemy became the offense coordinator, I can tell because the weirdest thing is being with somebody. I was with Big Red for 7 years, and being with him, you realize and you know what the hell he's going to do and what he's going to call. Like when that first game I played, I was like, I hope he's not going to. And it's a play action fake, and they're trying to go deep, and I sacked Donovan on the first play of the game. That's how predictable Big Red is. So to me, all those other things are excuses. There's no reason why this young man start talking about he can't interview. He can't interview. What the hell is these two y'all? I know. Now everybody will agree with that. Jonathan Gannon shit. I don't know if you saw some of the videos, but sheer.
Oh, that was hilarious.
Thank you. And that's how I've been getting by. I miss you guys. I was preparing last week. I was preparing last week. I was like, damn, we ain't having no show. I don't know what I'm gonna do with this hour. Oh look, some coconut oil. Pause. But I feel as an Eagles fan, as a Philadelphia fan in general, you look at the shit that I looked at, and being a player, I never knew the shit that y'all went through. Because you as a player, you're like, okay, well, you know. But then just being, yeah, I know, but just like not being on WIP and hanging with you guys and just being like with the fans and stuff, we get blamed for shit that we don't even do. I was like, they don't say nothing about the other fans at all.
Welcome to our life, man.
Stop throwing snowballs.
Snowballs from 1960.
Yeah, and then I found out that the snowball thing was in 1968. I met a dude who was actually at the game. I was like, are you kidding me? It's like, dude.
And nobody ever wants to bring up the fact that guy was a drunk ass Santa. Dickhead.
That's what the guy said. Yeah. He's been, because everybody was pissed because they wanted O.J. Simpson in the draft. And we were winning the game. So they got pissed, and then he came down there with the Santa suit on. I was like, no shit. But well, that's been my life. How you guys doing?
Speaking about presents, I mean, Santa bringing some presents. As Eagle fans, we're looking for some presents. And how he's going to have to do his best job as Santa. And he's got to bring home the PS5s again for no reason, like surprise us with some gems. And today we're going to kind of break down who should stay and who should go. It's going to be – it's hard because there's some guys here that we're all kind of attached to that we're going to have to make up some decisions on some guys we've rode
grown to love.
We've been ride or die with a lot of these guys. I know any guys that – I mean, we're going to go through the position, but right. Guys off the top of your head that you're going to have some feels letting go of.
Fletch, for me, I mean, Fletch has been a core part of this defensive line for years, man. And while he might Fletcher's a really fun dude, and I feel like it kind of gets overshadowed by BG's personality because they both came in roughly at the same time. And BG, I think, is a more personable person. But Fletch has been a crucial part of that defensive line for close to a decade. Yeah. Right. And I think that, you know, it's going to be – I think that Fletch isn't going to be here next year, and it's going to be tough to watch him go for sure.
Yeah, it's good. You know, my part is – you said it right there, but it's the core four. It's like BG, Fletch, Lane – and who's the other? And Kelsey. Those are the ones who, no matter what, I think you have to try to make a way for at least two or three of those guys, if not all of those guys, to stay here. Now, I do know I did do an appearance with Fletch just recently down in Wildwood, and I do know he kind of wants to play a year for Big Red, so one of his last years for Big Red. And it's been said, but I think. Hopefully, I think he wants to do one more here. But
you had that conversation with Fletch, right? Yeah. I want to know how that conversation played out because we all know how you feel about Big Red. So for him to say that he wants to play for Big Red, what was your response to that?
Shit. Say you want some more of this Casamigo on the rock? I was like, don't let it fool you. I was like, I didn't want to embark my opinion in that course, state unless he asked me. And I was like, it's kind of like this. And I would tell him this. I'm going to tell you guys what I would tell him if he asked my true opinion. I was like, beware of what you do when you go with him, because he has more power than he says he has. Mm-hmm. The only coaches that I trust once I left here was Sean Payton and Foxy and Spagnuolo. It's just because they did exactly what they said they were going to do, and they didn't bullshit me in any shape, form, or fashion.
Spags is with Reed, though.
Spags is not in charge.
True.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and Spags is with me here. Too with the Eagles, and he saw me when I was actually my last couple of years. I did a physical here. And they were titillating bringing me back, and I ended up going with Spags because Spags saw me at the airport, and he was like, you know, I'm in St. Louis. He's like, maybe we can help each other out. He's with the Rams, so he had me come in. They offered me a contract. I accepted. So it was just one of those things. It's like, that's the only thing that I would tell him to beware, because I know he's had some great times with Big Red and stuff, and that's how it was with me initially. But my mom distinctly said, watch that fat motherfucker.
Someone we've been watching closely is his quarterback position over the last couple of years. Jalen Hurts has had a tremendous year, MVP-like performance. At the end of the day, it's time to pay the man, Jalen Hurts, like he's deserved. He put the team on his back. So looking at this group here, I think right off the bat, you know, like, you know, I've seen enough from Gardner Minshew. I'm ready to move on there. Ian Book can get his opportunity to. He's going to be a guy on the roster, but
I think you go after Marcus Mariota. Marcus Mariota.
I go after Jacoby Brissett.
That's
who I'm going.
Yeah. No, I saw a mock draft that had Herndon from coming at
Tennessee,
Eagles, and I was like, oh baby. Because he blew his the quarterback. Jalen Wyatt, I love Wyatt here. But that's a different conversation.
You know what I'm talking about, don't you? Number 11,
the wide receiver. Yeah.
Ooh, woo.
That boy fly.
I was like, oh, I was like, number three. He's at number three.
That would be beautiful. And they talking day two for him, which is wild. But anyway. Yeah, we talk about quarterbacks.
I think it's kind of wild too. This is Jalen. It's definitely just Jalen on this list. None of those guys are, and you have to keep them. Gardner Minshew, I think it's kind of funny that I kind of get the vibe that that guy is going to try and compete for a starting role somewhere. I think he thinks that he can start somewhere. To be honest with you, after seeing him, I don't know if he's a starter in this league. But if that's what he believes, best of luck to you, man.
I mean, if you think that he could run your system, he's a bridge quarterback, I guess. Somebody that could compete, right, and be a high-level QB2 for you. But also, again, like, it is. And the wild thing to me is watching him in spot duty with us.
yeah,
and how much his mechanics had degraded, yo. Yeah. Right? That like he it was just poor mechanics, and you somebody that doesn't have the arm talent for that kind of stuff. So I mean, Minshew might find a spot.
I don't want to speculate.
Okay.
I don't want to speculate, but like I came across pretty much all of his interviews that I had seen him do. Dude, my takeaway was this dude is a stoner, bro.
He is.
And I'm not trying to speculate and say man's doing, but like I kind of feel like he's just been hitting the pipe a little bit.
But like,
and then maybe that could lead to
I'm a stoner too, but I still show up, bro. Like, yeah, we don't gotta show up to
practice though.
I know. It's like, you know, the jacked up part is like he just kind of like got to Washington State on a whim.
Yeah.
And it was like, if you go back and look at how he got there, he just got to Washington State on a whim and everybody just loved him.
And he landed with old boy that had just passed away too.
Yeah, Mike Leach.
Leach, right. And like that air raid, yo. And that's the perfect offense and to put up just gaudy numbers.
Yeah.
I mean, he was decent in Jacksonville. I feel like we're spending a lot of time talking about a bum though. So, yeah. Thank you. Jalen Hurts.
Let's move on. I mean, we came up with the Tennessee quarterback. That's a nice piece. I was hoping to get an interview with him down at the Senior Bowl. He was down there, but that would be interesting.
No, he's talking about Hendon Hurner.
But I do like. I'm all in favor of Jacoby. Let's go moving right along here. The running back position. It's an interesting scene here right now. We have Miles Sanders, who has his best year, his last year with the Eagles. Took him 4 years to get 1,000. Not that I'm saying anything. We got Kenny Gainwell, who as a young buck has showed he's progressed at the biggest stage. The Eagles leaned on him in the Super Bowl. Boston Scott again, journeyman style of. But he's here. Like he comes up, steps up in big games. I think he's provided a lot of energy. And then Trey Sermon, a guy who's been waiting in the wings. We would like to see what he has, but he hasn't really got the opportunities. I spoke with Coach Singleton about Trey Sermon. He said, "Hey, there's a lot of mouths to feed." When people talk to me about Trey, it's like there's a lot of mouths to feed when it comes to pecking order. He is not on the list. So now. Yeah. He could be in the conversation,
do you know how you get on the list when they give you the opportunity?
You gotta make plays.
It's not enough. That means there's nothing he's wowing them with. Mm-hmm. That means he's sometimes he knows the stuff. Sometimes if you got everything and then you're hitting the gap, right? Man, it's hard for them. You're supposed to make it hard for them to keep you off the field.
Well, and that's the thing with Miles Sanders, right? Is that, yo, Irv, appreciate you again for coming on our show, man. But the thing with Miles Sanders is when he got into the Super Bowl, he started running lateral again.
I didn't want to say it.
It pissed me off, yo. And I'm sitting there watching it, and Tank, bro, I'm thinking about you. And I'm at fumble, right? Like, again, even though they helped him out with that call. Yeah. And so north-south is the route, right? Even on the outside stretch, is get that foot in the ground when the hole open up and get in there. And, like, Miles don't bring that to the table. Kenny Gainwell, though, does. And, like, people consistently talk about the fact that he can't run between the tackles and he's not built for that kind of role. I don't know if that's true, because when you look at Austin Ekeler, right, like, it's less the size and more, like, how you're built. And Kenny Gainwell showing that he could take a hit. He'll get between the tackles, but I love what he adds as a receiver, bro. So, I'm excited what this running back room could be. Ooh. Definitely think you bring back Boston Scott, and Trey Sermon is just a guy at this point. But yeah, folks talking at Robinson Gibbs, either one of them in this offense would be phenomenal.
I was looking at Baja Johnson.
My man's from TCU too. I can't remember his last name.
What about Tajay Spears? You talking about Tajay Spears? Who'd you say?
No, me.
No.
It was UCLA.
Hollis.
Hero Johnson. His name. His first
Roshan?
Name.
Roshan.
No. His first name. His first name means hero. Baja. B is B-I-J.
Oh, Bijan.
Bijan Robinson. Is it Robinson? I thought it was Johnson.
Robinson.
Check the notes.
No, I was looking at the screen. You're correct.
No, but if I could just jump in and talk about this running back position. I think Miles Sanders is a good running back. I think he's going to end up getting paid. But to be honest with you, I think a lot of numbers that come of running backs in the system are inflated based off of our offensive line.
No, it's based off of Jalen. Because remember when
it's a mix. It's Jalen Hurts and having the best offensive line in the league. Yeah. I'm saying I don't think Miles Sanders, without both of those things, is not going to be able to repeat the same sort of success he's had here. Mm-hmm. I think that this is essentially the perfect system for a running back. And, I mean, you brought up Bijan Robinson. He's going to go early in the draft. But, man, bro, I have been kind of salivating recently. Just the thought of having him behind this offensive line. I mean, for the exact same reasons I'm saying Miles Sanders had success. If you throw in a guy like Bijan behind this line, bro. Like
so Kendre Miller, from TCU, bro.
Y'all
watched Kendre Miller from TCU at all? Like, you see him play?
Yeah, I've seen him play. He's a beast.
No, that boy is now, a force.
Him and then when you look at the kid number one from Alabama, and then it's one Gibbs. Kid out of FAMU, the Rattlers. I don't know if you've seen him.
And there was someone that brought up what's it called? There was someone that brought up. From Oakland, from what's his face, Josh Jacobs. You don't like Josh Jacobs?
No,
to be honest,
I like Josh Jacobs, but Josh Jacobs. No,
I just break the bank. Exactly. That was the point I was going to get at. That was the point I was going to get at, because at the beginning of this season that just passed, in the off season, I was kind of pushing for a Miles Sanders, Josh Jacobs trade. That was kind of something I wanted to see.
That would have been – if we would have had Josh for this playoff, like, hey, we're talking a different football game with Josh.
That's what
Jacobs.
I mean. But now, with that being said, that's out the window, because Josh Jacobs and Miles Sanders are both going to get paid.
Well, I mean, realistically, bro.
Anytime a player gets cut, the guy who's recently got cut is Leonard Fournette, who, you know, Eagle fans will always bring him up. What do you guys think about Leonard Fournette?
I think he's a rotational back, man. I don't think he's a lead guy.
But you don't need him to be. And he can block on third down.
Because we're thinking three. We're talking about
tough yards for you.
But how would he mesh with us?
I think he would. I think that, first of all, when you saw Tom Brady move into, like, the shotgun snaps and giving him those opportunities from the shotgun versus the I formation, that, like, Lenny's smart enough to figure it out, right? And, like, also, again, he's one of the better receiving backs out of the backfield. That was one of the pieces that I really wanted to see the Eagles utilize more frequently in the offense, right? To, like, keep defenses honest. And then you have these guys that can go over the top. But I think that he would be him and Gainwell, if you keep Scott, too, would combine for a very, very good rotation. And he's that guy we'll want, you know, especially if they outlaw the QB sneaks. Like, he's a guy I would want to potentially be giving it to in that situation.
Can you believe they're doing that shit, bro? Can you believe they're doing that shit?
They don't let us live for anything.
They better call it the Jalen Hurts rule, man. Just so everybody knows where that came from.
Tom Brady's been doing it for years, decades.
But with
his weak ass hamstrings.
Not with nobody pushing him from behind.
Yeah. This is different.
But it's a difference with only Jalen Hurts, because the only time it's been stopped is when Gardner Minshew. I don't know if y'all saw when he tried to do it against the Saints. It looked horrible.
So would that make it only illegal for quarterback sneaks, or like would you be able to push a running back in, or like what's the deal with that?
They probably let you still, because you even see the offensive lineman grab the running back and like pull him and be running backwards and stuff. And so like it's a lot of stuff you would have to address if that's the case. We'll see what the competition committee's talking about. But I think, you know, to Gail's question, that like Lombardi Lenny, he brings also that caliber of a champion too, right? Like, he's somebody that's seen it. You know, he's somebody that's grinded hard to maintain his spot after Jacksonville cut him. I'll be interested for the right pay, man.
Now, shout out to Mark. He's a Pac-12 watcher, being an Oregon fan. I was watching Charbonnet all week. Mm-hmm. Contact balance from UCLA. For a guy that big and the ability to have that kind of wiggle and carry dudes, he's an interesting piece. Like you see these guys play, and then you see Miles Sanders not hit the hole, or like, you know, this dude is not going to dilly dally. It's straight up the field. and he'll give you some wiggle. But yeah. Very interesting, Mark. Very interesting.
Yeah, that is. You brought that. Yeah, you brought that up when we was talking. And then I went back and looked at some of the tape. I was like, yeah, I kind of like this. I kind of like Sharp. I kind of like Chardonnay.
I like anybody that's gonna see the hole and get the hole, right? Thank you. The dancing. Who other than Le'Veon Bell for a year and a half? Who else has danced and successfully been
Shady. Right,
like, consistently? Only. Shady didn't really dance, no. Bro. Like Shady only would shake you up, but Shady Barry got Sanders. To the. He was fast.
Only Barry Sanders
too. Barry Sanders danced, but not in the same way, right? Like he wasn't dancing to like. Because of hesitation, he knew he was fast enough that if he got you to stop, he could get past you, right? Like, yo, Miles Sanders is just dancing, bro. Sometimes it just looks like he's scared to hit the hole. We need somebody that's going to see the hole, get the hole.
He's tipping. He's tipping, and not in a good way. He's tiptoeing. Like a tiptoeing burger.
Tiptoeing on full force. Tiptoeing on full force. You know, a couple other guys that I have watched, Sean Tucker out of Syracuse, very interesting. He's got some juice. Tajay Spears was all the rage at the Senior Bowl out of Tulane. He was very interesting to me. Tank Bigsby out of Auburn. There's a lot of guys to be had, and they're all going to move down. I think some might move down into day three, and that's where you get these value picks. You know, guys like Jamal Williams, who was picked up in the fourth, and Aaron Jones.
He was in the
fifth round.
I mean, I think this is the year where this can fall, and we could find some gems. Again, we got Kenny Gainwell in the fifth round, so running back position is very. I think we're all at a consensus that Miles Sanders will be out of here. One last question, Boston. You guys bring back Boston Scott
for sure.
You
got to bring him back.
That's two free wins for us tonight.
He's another dude that don't dance. He get after it. He's just small, bro. Yeah. Right? You know what I mean? But he gets after it.
By the time he emerges from behind the line.
Every time. You call his number, he shows up, son.
But by the time he emerges from the line, it's too late to grab him.
Yo, Muhammad Ibrahim. So East Coast Gridiron, bruh, shots out. So I watched him decimate Rutgers this year, bro. Ibrahim. Is the exact type of running back that could flourish in Philadelphia and probably fall to the late rounds, if not undrafted free agent. That's a sneaky pick. I see you.
Izzy Nakanda was pretty interesting out of Pitt, man. I watched Izzy last night. He's interesting. He's got some juice. He runs a little high, but still. There's a boatload of dudes to draft. I would be lying to you if I didn't get in a car and drive 16 hours to see your Spears. Roshan Johnson out of Texas as well. He's another guy that you could have interest. There's we might not see Trey Sermon. Moving right on the tight end position, obviously, Dallas is the GOAT, a player who me and Mal years ago were figuring out a way to get him on the Eagles roster. Here he is 5 years later. He's our dude. But you got Jack Stoll, Grant Calcaterra, definitely role players. Grant Calcaterra, young prospect. Tyree Jackson has not put it all together yet. Do you think this group needs a tight end too?
I personally don't, bro. Like, I like this group. It's sort of like what you said. Each of them does something different for you, right? Like Jack Stoll is a great tight end too in blocking situations. I think Grant Calcaterra, as long as the concussions don't inhibit his ability to play, and like he'll flourish into a really good like receiving tight end. Tyree is, you know, this enigma question mark that could be a combination of both of those things with his size, speed, and strength. And so I would say, like, this is a group, unless you get somebody that falls way down the board and it's just too good to not like pick, I think this is a group you could move forward with and feel pretty damn good about. I mean, you watch them contribute to a Super Bowl run pretty much, and like I don't think that there was anything drastically missing. My only concern would be Dallas gets hurt, right? That like he goes out with injuries. And is there a person in this group that can step up and give you 3 to 4 games of the same sort of caliber or like slightly less? I don't know that that's
to be honest. Yeah. I think that Calcaterra is going to make a step this next year. I think he's the one, bro. I think he turns into tight end too. I mean, from the few amount of opportunities he got, he made the most of them this year. So
he can catch.
He's got really good hands.
What do you think of the medicals, Ed?
I mean, he got through the whole year, man. He did fine. He was able to stay healthy. I mean, that's a huge check in that column.
But yeah, but I think you do. I think if somebody, like you guys said, if somebody falls in the tight end class this year, if somebody who falls that you didn't anticipate falling, that's a complete and utter ass kicking machine.
Right.
You get him and you put him in that mix because it'll weed out the weak ones. You don't not put competition there. I'm not saying we don't have to go out and get nobody free agent wise, but through the draft, if you see a kid there that you covet, that you think would go good.
Honestly, is tight end really a position? And I totally get your point that if Dallas Goedert goes down, that is a huge, negative in that position. But like, when was the last time really there was like a solid? The only thing that comes to mind for me is Gronk and Aaron Hernandez, or like a solid 1-2 punch at tight end.
Bro, I feel like I don't think it's enough 12 that you do need somebody that can adequately block and adequately catch. And I think they have that in Jack Stoll. I mean, to be honest, I think that they have that in Jack Stoll, TBD.
Yeah, because you don't have a fullback.
Right. And so, that second tight end is an important position, and why I like the diversity of who they have. And Tank, I think you're 100% right. Like you said, if there's a dog, right, like you should be pushing to keep him. Like, I got to hold the boy back. So if you get in somebody like that late, absolutely. I don't think that you ever turn your nose up at adding talent around somebody like Jalen Hurts who can, like, take that shit to the next level. So if it's a tight end that comes in and maybe gives you some splits out wide, right, can, like, jump into the slot. I think Calcaterra could turn into a big slot receiver for the Eagles. Mm-hmm. And, like, if you figure
I wonder why you think that. Bruh. Is it because Quez Watkins screwed the pooch?
Well, yeah, Quez been screwing.
Yeah, it's time we get to wide receiver. I got
one more. I got to mention someone. I got to mention y'all like Washington out of Georgia. 6'7",
the big boy,
270. You talk about 12 personnel, if you put them out wide, he is murdering folks. And yes, I was like, could Stoutland turn him into a potential
Jason Peters type?
2-6-7
why would you want to?
Why would you want to?
Well, it happens. Goal line offense would be easy as well.
Oh man,
line him up wide.
Yeah. It's not like it's just like if you had him in the mix, he would be mauling folks on the edge.
But I do kind of see Hollis's point, though, too, because, like, if you do have him as a tackle, I agree that that could be a benefit for him. But if you line him up next to a tackle on a running play.
Right. Oh, God.
And it's just the flexibility of being able to shift him and move him around, like, the line of scrimmage. Yeah, I like him, though. He get his hands on you. It's a wrap, son.
Yeah.
Right? And, like, that's what you look for. And somebody that, like, okay, you could do that. Let's work on some of the other pieces. But I want somebody that's going to join the Eagles offense that's a mauler, bro. Like, I want every tough guy, son, right, across the board, because that's what you need. You got to impose your will regularly.
Jalen Riggs tricked me into thinking he was a mauler.
You ain't think that. You let Galen and Chris Malley, shout out to Malley. You let them boys trick you, bro.
I got duped.
I still had Justin as my number one guy. Nah, sir.
Nah, son. You was Rager.
Go check the rankings right now, guy.
You was Rager.
I had T. Higgins as well, who's also been a star. Talking wide receivers, a position where we got a little spoiled this year. You talk about getting an opportunity to have 2,000-yard receivers in 1 year. That's kind of like, for Eagle fans, that is sexy talk. This group is an interesting topic, because you're thinking about Quez Watkins, the guy who showed out earlier on, and then it seemed like he had a confidence issue. But we have AJ Brown, who was stellar coming in We had the bomb of trade, which was awesome on draft day. Devonta Smith, we talked about him being a wide receiver one B, and he was every bit of that. Quez Watkins definitely screwed the pooch.
How did England Covey sneak on here?
Many opportunities. You talk about Quez Watkins, whether it be the Bears game, the Washington game, the Dallas game, the Super Bowl. There's inconsistency at the catch point. Zach Pascal gave up a lot of stats to come here and be the upgraded version of J-Jaw. Britton Covey, again, he was a special teams punt returner. I mean, he didn't drop any like Jalen Reagor, but what do you guys think of this group?
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
I got a lot of things that I think about this group. First things first is I think that Quez ends up departing the team. I think Zach Pascal, in a pinch, could be that wide receiver three. And as far as Britton Covey is concerned, man, and Quez Watkins is concerned, like, I mean, there was a lot of if obviously you guys remember prior to the season, it was kind of Covey versus Devin Allen as far as the miscellaneous guy to make the roster.
The white guy to make the end of the roster.
hey, man, I'm just saying that Devin Allen just as easily could have went out there and dropped balls after beating the cornerback, just like Quez Watkins. He could have done the same thing all year long. But yeah, I think that I think Devin Allen will come back to try and compete for a return type position. But ultimately, I think that we end up drafting a slot receiver or end up getting a guy through free agency. I think one and two is pretty much set in stone, and the other three are questionable.
Yeah, I say the same thing. I think one and two are etched in stone. I think we bring in some people, some other guys to create quality competition for the other three spots. Because it's like I'm not attached to it. I was attached to Quez at first. I was like, but I can't deal with that shit no more. Unless he just comes in and pulls a Nelson Aguilar during the Super Bowl year type shit.
Would you bring Nelly back as the wide receiver three?
I mean, I wouldn't balk at it. I wouldn't balk at it because when you look at him, the only time that he really fucked up is when we counted on him as number one or number two. And so, but when he was number three,
right. I can't do that again. What the fuck am I doing replacing Quez with Aguilar?
Hold on. The only time he fucked up is when we counted on him. Yeah, that answers the question of if we want to bring that man back or not.
Don't rely on him. He'll make plays when you don't.
That was my condescending answer.
For me, I definitely want to bring back Zach Pascal. That's again, like, he's a dog, bro. Right, like when you see skirmishes after plays, Zach Pascal is usually in there somewhere. Right, like when you had a dirty hit on Jalen Hurts, the first person that was over there was Zach Pascal. Like, he's your enforcer. You carry somebody like that as your wide receiver four. In a pinch, he could give you some 3-2. Perfect dude for special teams. Bring him back. Get him on a 1-2 year deal, whatever it is, vet minimum. Let's get it done. Everything else y'all said, I agree with, man. I think you want to provide competition. I really, like, I've been arguing with folks on Twitter because I'm petty. But, like, wide receiver three is an integral part of this offense. Yeah. You need a third person you can rely on. AJ Brown has missed games similar to how Dallas Goedert has, right? Like, Smitty is a slight frame person. You need other playmakers that can step up. And when their number is called,
he's healthy though, bro.
He does. I'm not saying that he's injury like prone as much as he's at a higher risk for injury because of his body type, right? In the NFL. Yeah. And so you need people that can step up and make plays. I don't think you have that. Kind of like
when Dallas Goedert went down, that would have been a point where the third receiver could have stepped up and been in that position and made more plays. But they shrunk up, and then you knew that we weren't going to go to the young guys because they're going to be there for blocking and stuff. And then they caught a few passes, but that was the one thing that kind of pissed me off when Dallas Goedert went down. That was his time to show them that I'm number three. I need to get paid.
Right.
I think
the Eagles would have paid him had he showed up, son. Honestly.
I've seen him a few times.
No way bring back Slippery Hands Nelly.
People are suggesting Zay Flowers in the draft. And to be honest with you, I think he goes in the first day.
He's
a first-round pick. Man, I've been saying this too, is that, like, dude, I love
Aaron Crookshank. Aaron Crookshank from Rutgers for the return game. Yeah. Game changer, bro.
I'm just saying Zay Flowers in itself. That's a dream, bro. I mean, that guy, I think he's going to be one of the best wide receivers that comes out of this draft.
I've seen people mock Jordan Addison as well to us at the end of the first.
And what's that, Jackson from Ohio State, the big slot?
Jackson Smith and Njigba.
You made our way through it. So thank God for the help. I appreciate you. Another one that, like, a contributor. And, you know, for him specifically, he's a big slot, right? That he's somebody that can work the seam, work the middle of the field with your Dallas Goedert and then allow Smitty in. I just want Smitty and I want the wide receivers outside to be able to go stupid, bro. Right. They're like, I don't want them to be confined by over the top help. Nah, your people got to be responsible for all these hitters on this field.
Right.
When Goddard went down, we got a chance to see how folks really treat our offense.
As we start to look at this through, like, a wider scope, do you guys also fear losing Devontae Smith, considering the fact that we have already paid A.J. Brown?
No, not yet.
I don't think so.
Not yet.
You think we're going to pay two wide receivers big-time money?
Damn, Skippy.
I think that...
It's potential. We'll work something out.
Yo, Gil.
I think your mic's all fucked up.
Your mic, bro.
Yeah, I think it's that shirt. There you go. We can't hear you, though.
There you go. We can hear everything you're saying now.
There are fans of the shirt.
There are fans of the shirt. I think they were just razzing you.
It's evil green.
making sport of you.
I haven't heard razzing in dumb long, son.
So are we doing the whole every position group here?
We could get to the offense because, you know, the way that we're moving. Because I spent about probably 2 hours putting these graphics together. So we could move the other portion to the next podcast, if that's cool. Cool, yo.
That's cool.
I mean, because there's a lot to talk about. Yeah. There's a lot to talk about.
We've got roughly 5 months until preseason starts, so I think we can stretch this shit out a little bit.
So are there any free agent wide receivers you guys have any interest?
Yo, that list. Jarvis Landry is weak, man.
Jarvis Landry interests me only because if that ankle is good, he's somebody that can play the slot, and it's a big asset, if I know.
Yeah.
But special teams contribution, right? They're like, in theory, him and Paris Campbell, for me, like, if you took away the injury question mark, would be just incredible fits for this offense and for this team. But, yeah, that list, I mean, it's not inspiring. Alan Lazard, right?
I hope Juju goes to the NFC East. I want to see him get clotheslined twice a year.
Hold on. All bias and hate aside, what would you think about Juju? Because he would be an incredible slot receiver for
TikTok boy is not going to make it in this locker room. Well, he will get lumped up. A.J. Brown will lump him up real quick. I was like, man. Somebody shows Michael. I thought, because you think about this offense, you want juice, right? Who else brings juice? I mean, as much as we don't like the way that Quez played at the end of the season, he does have that speed that stretches the field. Oh, yeah.
That's the only reason
Nevin Allen is
out there. His cap hit is 2.7 mil. You know, if you cut him, the dead cap is only 42,000. So if they want to save 2.7 mil, he would be a cut candidate.
Who are you talking about? Quez?
His dead cap is $42,000.
AJ makes him drop the soap. Hey, yo. This ain't Penn State,
but it's going to be, you know, the one thing there's going to be is specifically what you just said. It's going to be like guys, they're going to bring some guys in for quality competition. And, they, you know, it's just going to be It's going to be a free for all. All that shit, that all the missed passes and stuff, that's going to be in the back of their minds. And you have to build. He's going to have to build up the trust of the coaching staff, because let's face it, he hasn't built up the trust of the fans right now, because everybody's talking about see you, and I wouldn't want to be you. And it's like he's almost got the moniker of Nelly, but we didn't waste the first round pick on him.
Oh. So I mean, so stay or go. You're keeping Quest.
I'm getting rid of the slippery fields conditions.
He's definitely letting that go. Let Quest walk, man. I think that with the you said you saved the money against the cap, you could put that towards somebody that you have belief in.
Once I saw the cap, I was like, okay.
The one benefit that I will give Quez is that I don't need him off this team as vehemently as I needed Jay Jaw and Rager off this team.
Right, exactly.
They were a cancer in the locker room, and I needed them away from my team as far as possible.
Right.
Quez ain't that. He's just underperforming.
Yeah.
So.
Well, and it's
Howie,
like the one,
Aaron
the,
Crookshank from Rutgers, get it done.
Yeah, I mean, and if you look at it, I think it kind of gave him the job over Devin Allen. I mean, that one play action. When I saw Devin Allen, I would have took that. I would have took that. That I mean, that's all our boy Quez did and fumbled.
Yeah.
Oh Jesus.
Yeah, I know. It hurts me still too. It still hurts me.
Still not over that Super Bowl play.
I'm over that play, that particular play, because in watching it at close range,
I watched it like
I jumped up and said that was pass interference.
Nah, he still should have caught it. Talking about the big uglies, aka the offensive line. This group is not a big ugly. These guys are dropping albums. They could probably win some Grammys of such. These guys,
ugly. That is
Jason Kelce. I mean, he started his podcast just this year. He's already got more subscribers than us.
Yeah, we got Lyman Jason, with abs.
He's Jason Kelce, and he's doing it with his brother Travis Kelce.
Two Hall of Famers.
We got fucking Tank. Like, come on.
I've been done for 10, 11 years.
So we got Jordan Mailata, a guy who's been a gem, drafted in the seventh round. You know, I loved him. Just going to put that out there. We got Landon Dickerson bringing that Bama pride. He's been a stellar young tandem in this group that they've been throwing guys out the club. Jason Kelce. We all love Jason Kelce. We're just trying to figure out what he does next. Cam Jurgens in the mix. We talk about he's the, you know, the Luke to Jason Kelce's Obi-Wan.
He's the heir apparent.
Isaac Suamalu, a guy who he's been
about to get paid.
He's been versatile.
He's about to get paid.
We have Lane Johnson, a guy who's been trusty right side of this offensive line. And we have, you know, depth pieces, but overall, we got to figure some stuff out. Who stays or who goes in this group here?
Well, first of all, I know Isaac's going to get paid. I don't think we can afford him. I think you move Jurgens over there. You want Kelce to come back. And you want him to come back for one specific reason. You want Jurgens to play that guard where Suamalu is and play next to Kelce to get some real time. And I think Kelce don't want to go out like he did.
Yeah.
It's like when you look at it, a lot of people saying the way that he was looking at his brother. It's like and he wants to go out like that. You don't want to go out.
He told his mom to go celebrate with his brother, like bruh. Damn.
Yeah.
And then, he can't go out like this.
That's the other part of it too was I think he likes this group.
Yeah, and that's, I think he really likes Jalen too, man.
Yeah, and the thing is when you enjoy your job and stuff, and you feel like you have a chance to win, you don't ever want to. You don't ever. At the end of the day, this is a job that you can't fucking come back to. Right. So a bunch of guys told me when I was a young buck, he's like, you go out. I see guys that have been league 14, 15, 16 years, and I'm like, damn, why are you still doing this? Like, they're gonna take me out kicking and screaming. It's like, so you stay while you still have the wherewithal and ability to play. But when you see your play diminished, that's when you roll. He was an all pro this year. One of, if not the best center in the league.
Yeah.
Dude, it was like, you don't leave. You got to give it one more chance to win a title. If you don't, then walk off into the sunset, but you can't leave it unfinished like this.
And I think,
Go ahead.
No, Darren G says Kelsey's coming back. He's still having fun playing ball. And I read somewhere he said he won't leave until it stops being fun.
And I mean, I feel like that's a lot of that's what Tank was saying. Like a lot of the vets for them, they or they doing what Sue did, right? Like skipping training camp and all of the grind and then popping in with the team that got a chance for the to make a run. And so it makes sense. I love Travis Kelce. Going into the Super Bowl, I felt like he was going to retire because I felt the Eagles were going to win. But seeing him tell his mom to go celebrate with his brother, and then he like the way he dropped his head, I was like, nah, he's not ending it like that, bro. Yeah. That's not going to be the last way you see Jason Kelce. And so I think Jack Driscoll and also Cam Jurgens push for that spot. You let Sayomalo go test the market. You don't pay him as a top level guard, right? Yeah. And so, you know, they have some bodies that could fill in there. You also have the best offensive line coach in the game. And so, you know, you might have
an undrafted
big Marley that comes
in. Say if I don't want to speak this into existence, but what if Kelce goes, would you sign Sayomalo?
I still think Jack Driscoll is a good enough guard to get you through, bro. Like, tackle not as much.
I mean, you think, but you know, Isaac Sayamalo has proven this past year that
Isaac Sayamalo was hurt this for how many years?
Yeah, thank you. Right? Not only that, he only gave up one sack this year, right? Yeah,
how many
that's
games
this year, but
has he played total across his career? So, like, you got to take all of that in consideration.
Take all of that in consideration, because, like, when
so that's a no.
I would
bring Sayamalo back
if Kelce leaves.
No. Only because I like everybody was talking about how good he was. I was watching film. I was seeing him get his ass whooped on a weekly basis.
Son, this who is the first gonna year? Look good smash between Lane Johnson and two fucking Hall of Famers.
Well, that kind of brings me to my question: is that if Kelce does retire and you're not bringing Sayamalu back, does that change your outlook for the 10th pick? Are you kind of shifting?
I think 10th pick has to be best player available or a Godfather trade deal, bro. I don't think you go in saying we got to take a tackle, got to take that.
Because
you
also
got to play out how it go, and whoever fall into your lap, like you just bask in that abundance. If it's an abundance of talent, you deal with it, bro. Right? Yeah. But like, I don't think you say that's bad drafting. You never go, we need this. Like drafting for need, we've seen how that ends, right? Yeah. It fucks you over in the long run.
And then the other part too is like we do have another first round pick that when you get to the lower part of the draft, there's going to be some offensive linemen that a center or a guard or a tackle that you can kick down the guard and kick him down the guard and then you can play Jurgens, my boy Jurgens, at center because that's what he's been trained for.
Indirect thing that's really helping us out too is I'm kind of liking the fact that there's a bunch of quarterbacks that are kind of coming out of the woodwork now and filing into the top 10 of the draft. I mean, Anthony Richardson has worked his way up there.
Anthony Richardson, Levis. I mean, Bryce won't go.
Yo, can I get this stuff off my chest, too, about Levis? Like, where the fuck did he come from, bro? Because I get major Mitch Trubisky vibes.
Can I say something? Yeah. I just want to keep it real.
He transferred from
Penn State to Kentucky.
Exactly. Yeah. And then you know what vibe he gets? I'm gonna this may age me. He gives me the Tim Couch vibe. Go ahead.
Yeah, Tim Couch. just be real. And people listening, if you don't like race, turn it off and come back in a second. But like every year a white quarterback gets pushed to the top of the draft board because white men are smarter than black men and are better capable of running a football organization. Yo, Will Levis is not that good. He just has run pro style offenses, and so people are infatuated with his arm talent, right? And the ability, definitely the Caucasianness of it, but also the fact that like he looks like what a prototypical quarterback is supposed to look like. Bryce Young is small. Anthony Richardson is a running quarterback, right? That like CJ Stroud, we don't know, and so like this mystery is going to push him into that top 10.
Yeah,
he's on bust. Somebody unless he goes somewhere that has a veteran in place that's ready to teach him the game and hand that shit over to him. Right. That's hard as hell to find because the veterans making $20-$50 million a year. They're not
so who's gonna be the dumbasses
shit.
That takes him?
Who's gonna be who's gonna draft him like Mitch Trubisky? They drafted Mitch Trubisky over
Pat Mahomes.
Patrick Mahomes.
Yes.
Yeah. And they traded up to get him too.
Yeah.
They traded up to get Mitchell Trubisky. Now, the other part to what we talk about Will Levis is they were making concessions for him. Talking about he didn't have an offensive line. His receiver got drafted last year. Yeah. I was like, dude, if you're the best, if you're supposed to be a beast at QB, you're a beast at quarterback. Your talent will shine.
I mean, who's Anthony Richardson thrown to?
Yo, Anthony Richardson is a monster.
I love his traits.
Yeah, he is an enigma, but I'm not drafting him in the first round. I might draft him in the second round.
I would take him in the first round. If I have an offensive coordinator that got a plan, son, I would take him.
I don't need an enigma. I need his Jigba.
Yes, I need somebody with quality.
I was like, wait, that's racist.
Somebody with quality.
It wasn't racist. It was.
I was trying to really enunciate. We were talking about offensive linemen. But Osiris Torrance from Florida.
Yeah,
he's a guy that if you want to guard late, the only thing is like. You have these ideas in your head. Well, I mean, the last time we drafted a cornerback was 2002.
Yeah.
Last time we drafted, we rarely draft front, like, because you get these topics. You know, draft analysts drop. Well, we're going to drop Bijan Robinson, running back. When was the last time that happened? Even though it sounds great, cornerback is a topic we've all been talking about. Witherspoon, Joey Porter Jr., Gonzalez.
So you what's, like what's Kylie it? Ringo?
Nah, yo, you know who he reminds me of? Justin Gilbert from Oklahoma State came out in the draft 2015. I remember watching Justin Gilbert's tape and being fascinated by his athleticism. One of the best lessons I ever learned about evaluation because he was not technically sound. He was running off of athleticism. So he got to the NFL, and I was like, oh, shit. Technique is king, bro. Yeah. Right?
What about the kid out of Mississippi State? Number 13.
Coming out this year?
Yeah.
Not as familiar, but with Kelly Ringo, like, yo, he's a superior athlete. The technique isn't really there, bro. And so I worry that, like, at some point, you got to put the work in.
Mm-hmm.
And he's been at Georgia 3 years. I can't really say I've seen him from when he was the best high school player to now. Yeah. Like, has there been this real transformational jump from a technique standpoint? I don't think so.
Right.
Like, give me the ball.
He's got the freaky athletic traits. I mean, he got the size. He's 6'2".
He's going to jump out the gym, run out the building, right? But, like, if I match him up against Davante Adams, if I put him against any of them techniques, put him against Davante Smith. Smith is going to work him. So.
Work him. Yeah, but I like the kid out of Mississippi State. He's a beast. He's number 13. He's got
Forbes.
He picked off Will Levis, too. nobody's business.
I'm going to add that to the list.
Cam Smith out of South Carolina.
And Joey Porter Jr.
Yeah, Porter Jr. is a good one.
Joey Porter Jr. I can't see myself passing him up, though. They was inadvertently throwing at that kid, and he was either knocking it down or picking it off.
Well, that's how I feel about Witherspoon. That boy is a dog, yo. And so I don't worry about him on the island. I don't worry about him in run support. Like, he's going to give 100% effort, and he's a dude that, like, is also technically sound. And so I want those people that have the athletic traits, but Jalen Hurts, right, that have the fundamental athletic traits but are also wired to be great. And, like, I feel like when you watch Witherspoon play, the passion, bro, it just screams off the tape. And so, I always add, like, a little asterisk around dudes like that because they're going to find a way to make it in the NFL, right? Yeah, the finesse dudes, you see them fall out all the time.
Yeah, they fall out all the time.
He did pop right away the first time I watched him, I was like,
on the outside. And I'm like, damn. I was like, I'm watching the wrong person because this got to be the safety that hit like that. I kept watching this shit. I'm like, ooh, wee.
Now Sean says, what's up, guys?
They were talking about the Cat Branch, too. Who's like a safety
he can play a star role.
He's like a slot corner though.
Yep.
But he come up with that fire out. I think he wear number 14.
I just need you to come up with that pie out. what you had, seeing what you hitting though, right? That like, you know, I'm not sure if I missed it.
But while we're on the topic of safeties, I mean, what was your guys' thoughts on Marcus Epps this year? I mean, I thought he actually I thought he took a huge step.
The kid we talk about can play corner as well.
We're talking about corner right now.
Yeah, no, the kid. I brought the kid up Branch because he plays safety, but he's good enough to play corner and slide. A lot of times when they blitz and stuff, he lines up over the slot and he covers the slot. So it's like he's got the wiggle of a slot corner.
He's trusty. You can trust. Yes. You can trust Branch to be exactly where you need him to be.
That's why I like those Bama boys, Georgia boys, right? Like they are well coached. They know their scheme. They know their responsibility, and then they know the responsibilities of the people around them. And when you get to that kind of shit, man, that we need a championship, bro. We missed it. Yeah. How we do the job,
missed
bro?
Refill the game.
I mean, let's go get it. Yo.
Now, Adrian talks about a safety out. Well, and again, we'll be talking about the next episode. But Clark, man, he's available.
Why are we hating on Ed Reed Blankenship right now?
I was about to say Blankenship, man. It's like, but if we got to get one more white safety.
We can say that for the next episode. I just want to give a shout out to Sean. Because when we were talking about offensive line, he brought up Skoronski from Northwestern.
Oh yeah, he's a dog. I like him.
Yep. So you talking about guys that can play inside and out? He's
well. I was bringing up guys who run block well. I was bringing up guys who interior run block extremely well and was ass kicking machines. The guys who I see still blocking down the field and with their hands just right here and not right here.
Oh yeah.
Because when they quick sidebar, when the Cowboys drafted that kid, I don't know what's his name, out of Tulsa. If you go look at his film, Smith. Every time he comes off the ball, he's coming off the ball like it's Christmas time. He hugged me. I hate that. Your hands are supposed to be in here.
Yeah, well, that's how you avoid those hole calls too, bro. And you can control them in the pass. Absolutely.
Exactly.
Yeah. I just want some horses, man. Like whatever, whoever. Bring in the. Yeah. You gotta have people with heart, right? Like in order to fit the culture of what they build in here, you have to have heart, right? Like you gotta be determined. You gotta work hard, bro.
And thick skin.
Yeah,
now Mark Bird says stay on the SEC draft script, been working very well. Sports King says what's your take on Job? Again, another Alabama corner. We'll see what he's got.
He's got a year on his belt now, so
also I feel like dudes on the defense potentially get a new chance because you know what I mean, the size coming in as a Fangio disciple. Like he's also coming in as his own person to establish, you know, this is second chance outside of Chicago. And so, you show up to camp, Kickerson, you show up to them OTAs in camp and you in that gym, you working your ass off. You never know. Right. Like Tank said in the beginning, like they looking for them people that you got to hold them to keep them back. Yeah. And so if you that kind of guy, man, this could be your chance, bro.
Under new management, all that shit you did before, unless you a high price bitch. Right. Your job is in jeopardy.
Price, bitch.
Your job, no, for real. It's not a new manager. This is a new coordinator. Yep. If you come in and you do exactly what he's asking you to do and make it plays, you're gonna play.
You are going to play.
He will find a spot for you. It's like put it this way. We was playing without Emmett Thomas, who I told you to go look up. We had these. We had Indy Kalu and Al Wallace. We created a defense where it was called Oki. I never knew where he got it from, but he also Jim Johnson used it, where he took one of the defensive linemen, which was to get them on the field. I used to run the thing too. They used to have the defensive linemen run stunts at different parts and drop into coverage. They will get you on the field and create packages for you if you're good. You got to get the playmakers out there, baby.
Shout out to Sean again, talking to the offensive line to end this podcast tonight. Cody Mock, North Dakota State, 6'6", 230. I got an opportunity to interview Cody. Definitely had some presence to him. He was, they were playing him inside. He played tackle, but they were playing him inside. They even had him taking center snap, taking snaps from center. So he was talking about his versatility. He said he's willing to do anything it takes to get on the field. Not, you know, I was just thinking, I'm like, you get him with Stoutland.
Look at Driscoll, right? Like, same thing. What if Driscoll started at right tackle at Auburn, was taking snaps, during the pre-draft process at center, has given you guard snaps. That, like, when you get that, that's that perfect guy for down the bench to develop. You need that swing tackle that could also give you a pinch at guard.
If versatility.
100%, bro. The more things you could do, the less people could replace you, homie.
Yeah.
And at 6'6", 330, I'm not – listen, I got to keep it real. With a son, I ain't been doing my draft study the way I should. So, you know, now that he a little bit more autonomous and things, I'm going to be able to get back into it, right? But, like, you know, it's a lot of folks that we even talked about today that I feel like I want to jump back in and rewatch. But I'll tell you one person I have watched, Devon Witherspoon. That boy, he's a horse. I swear by that one, right? Like, I've done this long enough that when I see it and I believe it, and I saw it with him and I'm standing on it, that's the CB1. I don't care what nobody's saying. Mm-hmm.
And Jalen Carter is a man of my boy.
Bro, watching Jordan Davis last year doing his film study, and I'm like, who the fuck is number 88? And why is he the best player on their fucking defense? And it's Jalen Carter, bro.
Like,
it was bananas to watch Jalen. I'm taking Adrian, I'm taking Jalen Carter, son. He can do what Will Anderson can. Will Anderson can't do what he does, bro.
Yeah. And what y'all, it's a kid out of Pittsburgh too that plays D-line. He's about 6'3", about 280.
Sergeant Walker, holla at
me. He's like, what's called? He's out of the University of Pitt.
Bob says right.
I interrupted you, dog.
Bob says right side. No, he played left tackle for the Bisons. He's got the best draft front. Like, when he takes his photo, he's got no teeth in the front.
Perfect.
He looks like
he kind of looks like, let's get it. Like,
if Carson Wentz was a lineman, speaking of Carson Wentz,
you ruined it.
But look at his photo, bro. The dude has orange.
Don't bring me nobody that look like no Carson Wentz.
Did you see his photo?
Take that photo down, man.
You see Cody Mock's photo?
Yo, what prime at, man? Prime, what up, prime?
Prime's working.
What up, prime?
Speaking of Carson Wentz, he got released yesterday.
Of course he did. They wasn't paying him no $20 million to be asked.
As soon as Ben and me walked in the door, he's like, yeah, you can go.
Yeah. Like, what?
And in the same vein, Ben Simmons just got shut down for the year.
Did he really? Wow.
What a bum. Thanks for Harden.
Yo, both those dudes, man. Can we say we finally won the trade now?
We got to go get that young buck Ben Simmons a cheesesteak.
Oh, baby, that video.
Yeah, somebody should go get his ass one.
I just learned too that Jahlil Okafor is playing for the Delaware Blue Coats. I didn't even know that dude was still around.
I would never thought that Markelle Fultz is doing better than Ben Simmons.
Yeah, 100%.
Yeah.
He was still
happy for Markelle Fultz.
I'm happy for him too, but ultimately I think Markelle had something going on too.
It was mental, man. Yeah, it was mental. When they had him on the floor shooting his jump shot from the floor and I've been around basketball long enough to know I ain't never seen nobody lay on no damn floor to know learn how to improve their shooting accuracy. You better stand your ass up, boy, and move around.
And Bede is the most dominant player in the league, and I'll die on that hill, bro.
The process went haywire after.
Does he make the Hall of Fame is my question. We need that man in the Hall, bro, because it's been very few offensive big men like Joel Embiid that have existed, dude.
So closing out, I mean, we're trying to figure this thing out. Obviously, a lot of Eagle fans are trying to figure out the next move. Obviously, the combine is here this week, so you're gonna get a first hand look at some of these prospects we're talking about. You know, some of these players are gonna actually make their stock rise. Some will have them drop. We'll see how some of them are too slow, too fast, how they move in space. I think, it'll be a great opportunity to watch those guys out there. Shout out to Gio out there at the combine. I just want to give a shout out to him. Doing the Lord's work out there, getting his questions. Gio, getting his questions off. It's always good to see a lot of guys out there getting their opportunities at the combine. Are you guys a big fan of the combine?
Yeah. Can I just say something real well? Two things first. Sergeant Walker, all right, thank you for G checking me. So apparently you do lay on the ground.
I played ball for a long time, homie, but also wasn't a shooter, so thank you. Second, listen, with the combine, bro, I see people already losing their minds, and I just want to put this out as a reminder, right, that, like, the combine shouldn't be you falling in love with a player. The combine should be an opportunity for somebody to either confirm or make you want to rewatch your film, right? That, like, this person that you thought ran a lot faster runs really poorly. Now I want to go back and reassess. Or this person that maybe on the field wasn't running the way I thought, went to the combine and ran out the gym. Now I might want to go back and reassess some of the things. But don't fall in love, bro. People in shorts with no competition. Like,
everybody's Superman.
Yes.
This is actually – honestly, this is Evan's – favorite thing of this whole comma. It's really about the medicals, my guy. So, this is really Evan's. This is his event.
It's my time to shine, man.
The one thing that I look for in the combine is for all my big dogs to show up in fucking shape. If you don't show up in fucking shape for the combine, I can't fuck with you. Because you know what's coming up. You know what's at stake.
Right. Are you sure? It's a job interview, yo.
Exactly.
Are you sure looking the best? While we're talking about that, do you guys give any down marks to people that don't want to compete in the combine
and just want to? Yeah. So what the fuck are you showing up for?
I mean, for me,
the fuck are you showing up for?
I'm a tape dude, and then I've also started to implement some of like the advanced analytics shit into the process to justify and like corroborate what you see. So if you compete at the combine, like, cool. If you don't. It's weird.
It
is what it is. It's all relative, bro.
Because, you know, like going to the Senior Bowl and I'm sitting here like dumbass driving 16 hours and just to see, you know, I mean, like I heard Witherspoon was coming. I'm like, oh, yeah. I'm like, and the fact that he doesn't play, then I'm like, you know, I wouldn't play either. Like, I understand. You don't need to play with your stock where it's at.
You don't need to. You're getting to meet with coaches. You're getting a chance to show how you look on the Huff.
This is what I think, though. If you're not gonna compete, stay your motherfucking ass at home, and then let somebody else come and compete. They could, because you just taking up a motherfucking spot.
Man earned that spot, I wouldn't be there.
If he earned that spot, then continue to earn it. We keep giving motherfuckers. This is what I was cracking up because I heard the greatest, the GOAT, say this. Michael Jordan, when he was talking to, he was talking to Oprah Winfrey, talking about getting the shoe deal and stuff, how they fought to get the shoe deal. He's like, a lot of times we were giving people stuff on potential. We were giving a lot of guys. I heard a lot of that when I was analyzing basketball. We were giving guys money on potential. Right. I was like, but by the time Markel folks, by the time they grown up, we don't have them anymore. I'm not paying a motherfucker off potential. Yeah. I mean, it's like, and if you don't have the work ethic and you don't feel like you're ready, don't bring your ass to the combine. You're gonna get visits to the people that want to draft you. They bring you in, the professional teams bring you in.
Combine, well, I mean, they do the interviews as well.
Like, yeah, you're gonna show up to the combine for the interviews, and like you almost have to, son. If you medicals. Get the invite, like, your ass better be there, bro.
Yeah,
they're doing the Evan medicals and they're doing the interviews. They're asking the real wonky ass questions.
Wonky ass question.
I heard they're gonna tone that part down.
You remember any weird questions you got asked, Hollis?
I didn't get invited to the combine.
Yeah. How was that diamond in the rough, bro? Like, how was the living story of how you work your ass off to get an opportunity, man?
Some of that stuff, I don't know if I've sent you any of my highlights from college. That's my highlight reel. Is like, yeah. I occasionally post some of the stuff from Northern Illinois. That's how I got my shot. Yeah. I was on the same bus with Ray Farmer, Jermaine Mayberry, and Brian Dawkins. We came in for the first mini camp.
Nice.
And I was teasing all three of them.
Yeah. Well, listen, man, it's an exciting time of year, man, to, you know, just get involved, and it's a lot going on pre-draft, right? Like, free agency's coming up. It's exciting. Like, I'm excited to go through the process with you all. I'm excited to look at the comments. Like, folks in the comments are so intelligent with their shit too, right? They're like, the people that flock to this show come here with really intelligent perspectives, and I appreciate that because it's a lot of chatter in the Philly you know, fan zone or Eagles, you know, fandom, especially on Twitter. But I feel like, you know, between the show and the people that come to rock with it, like, it's always intelligent and really thought-provoking conversation, man. I appreciate that.
Was that your last word?
Yeah, I'm done. Yo. I'm out.
what's your last word there, Mr. Hollis?
Well, I kind of gave my last word when I was talking about the combine. I just want to get to the free agency part. So the free agency kind of when you get through, once you start the free agency, you start getting the free agents that you come and sign. It kind of makes clear of who and what you're gonna draft.
Yeah.
So I think we still should do a show about our free agent wishes. We kind of did some of the guys at first, but I think we jumped right to the draft thing because the combine was coming up. Instead of thinking, it's like, and I didn't think of this until we were doing it. I was like, damn, we should have went through what free agents will we go after first, and then that would predicate on how he's gonna attack the draft. Right. And I was like, damn. And I learned that by watching them do what they do. It's like, right. So it's one of those things where it's a lesson learned for us, because we saw the combine gonna be started. We was like, let's get it going.
But that's throw the whole thing. Episode away. Turn it off. Yeah,
we're not gonna throw the whole episode away. But we had a good time talking about it. I'm glad to see everybody happy. And I'm not gonna say over. Nobody. No, we'll never get over the bullshit ass loss. But the healing has begun.
I'm just glad MJ wasn't old enough to really remember it, bro, because that was a fucking heartbreaker, man. Lord have mercy.
We're in that weird limbo mode in between seasons right now. And, you know, some people, they check out. They just want to jump back in when the season starts back up again. But us freaks out here that enjoy all of the possibilities that could be, and trying to play, you know, GM from our own position. It is a fun time of year, getting ready for the draft, getting ready for free agency, and just trying to forecast how your team is going to look next season. So, looking forward to more episodes. Go Birds as always, man.
I want to give a big shout out to Bud Light for holding us down all year. Shout out to Bud Light, always providing the suds. Conchi Italian Bakery has always been a supporter of the brand and with the tomato pies. Make sure you go visit them. Tell them we sent you. Shout out to Philly Sports Trips.
We're going down to spring training, baby.
Yeah.
And March the 10th through 13th. Big Tank Dog.
That's be coming Clearwater. Up.
I know.
Big they're Tank also, doing, also doing a draft trip as well.
We're also doing a draft trip. Big Tank Dog is going to be on that one, too.
Nice.
I'm going out there to get some bald ass spread of barbecue and whatnot. And I'm going to sit up there and hopefully they let me call out one of the picks for the Eagles.
Right? You
got to
shout out
Fourth
of John when you're up.
Hell yeah!
I'm gonna try to get. If somebody would have gave me a jacket, you know,
for XLT. Tell me where to find one of them. You can't even buy them bitches in the store.
Yo, 4X.
I'm gonna roll up to Burlington and find me some brand.
Some type of sweater.
You know how long I've been looking for some random some kicks in Burlington size 14 for this dude. if I come across some random shit, if I find out, I'll custom them for Hollis. But it's rare to find something this man's size.
Now you see why every time I used to go to the mall to like a Foot Locker or the sport goods shoe store, just bring out all your 14s and let me go through them. I don't want to fall in love with no pair of shoes. And you talk about, oh, we got is a 10, motherfucker. So, but you know,
hey, real quick. Sandra Walker, if you're still watching, you could connect with me at Love for the Game Mal on Twitter, bro.
Closing out, my last word. Shout out to all you guys who are in the chat. I appreciate you guys showing up as usual. The crazies do it all year round. I saw the Eagles put out a post. What are you guys doing on Sundays? I said the same thing we do Monday through Saturday. It's all about the Eagles every damn day for me. Like I wake up, I'm always thinking about the Eagles. So we're going to continue this journey through the off season. Make sure you guys are taking care of yourselves.
Yeah.
Getting some sleep.
Mind your mentions.
Doing other things besides Eagles. Get some get some exercise. You know,
talk to your family.
Talk to your family. Maximize your sexy like this guy.
I go to base training on a daily basis.
Maximize your sexy. In Hollis's, he'll be stripping in the off season. So make sure you let him know where he's at.
That's that good cardio, bro.
But thank you guys again for sticking around. We'll see you guys in the next one. As always, fly Eagles, fly.